You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Business. It's all the things that keep this world turning. And behind every one of these companies is a partner helping to keep it all moving. It's why the local flower shop and your favorite pizza joint, the startup in the stadium, hospitals and hotels, banks and restaurants nationwide, all choose the Advanced Network, cybersecurity solutions, and round-the-clock trusted partnership from Comcast Business, the company that powers more businesses than anyone else. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Restrictions apply. Call or visit ComcastBusiness.com to learn more.
The Around the NFL podcast are saving their best work for the theology podcast.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with some heroes. Chris Wessling on my left, Greg Rosenthal on my right. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Great to have you back, Dan. Back
great
in the
to be
chair.
Back.
Yeah, you're the maestro.
Listen, thanks, guys, for welcoming me back. And you know, I'm in the Dominican Republic for this wedding, and you know, I get my Twitter's getting blown up with everybody like telling me, "Oh, you better watch out, Colleen's good." You know, you might have lost your gigs. Like, of course I know Colleen's good. Colleen is talented.
You're the one who put her up to this.
I don't know if it was my idea or your idea, Greg, but I was fully on board with Colleen hosting. She's a better host than me, so you put her in the host chair.
Oh,
away
I
we
mean,
go.
It's not doesn't need to be a competition. She's part of the team. You're the host.
Now that's it.
I don't know why there's always a reaction of our Twitter followers to try to create some sort of controversy. They do this with the Jeselnik podcast, too. They were saying there was a lot of hot butts talk in terms of Dan, you know, because that's your,
yeah.
That's your M.O. That's
well,
your corner.
And that brings me to my second point, which is, you know, why is everybody trying to cause trouble?
Exactly.
Yeah. Why can't it just be Colleen? Great job.
You're
coming after the old Zeuser on social media because Colleen did a nice job.
They're fomenting dissent, and I don't like it.
That's like whenever we do a mailbag, guaranteed at least 5 questions, like who would win in a fight between the four of you? It's like always like, what can we do to get them to hate each other?
Yeah.
Just wait till we're actually successful and we're making some money, then we will hate each other.
There would never be a fight between the four of us.
The real heat.
You have to get rich first.
The only real heat, there's two. There's scientist heat sometimes.
Yep.
You know, we forget about it right after we leave the room. That's all football. And then TD and Mark. That's some legitimate.
That was real. Those guys hated each other.
That was legitimate heat.
Welcome to another. Yeah, so thank you, Colleen, for helping out. And there will be plenty of Colleen to come, whether I'm here or not, throughout the rest
back
of the
Thursday. She's booked.
There you go. Booked for Thursday and throughout the offseason and the rest of the playoffs. So that is good news. This is the Around the NFL podcast and other news presented by Scott Trade. And I don't know who this Scott Trade is, but this dude finally stepped up, Greg.
It's exciting. Dan has been looking for a sponsor, just calling out companies' names randomly.
Yeah. I'm at us.
And old Scott Trade was out there listening, and they're saying,
Scott,
hey.
Scott was like, man, I'm going to get in on this Around the NFL podcast. Thank you, Mr. Trade.
Yeah, he's got to come in when the getting's good. We're the number one podcast around on NFL media. It's on NFL Network more now. And Scott Trade's saying, this is the time to jump in. Buy low.
Stake his claim on us.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know,
heavy move.
Apple, Reebok, Nike, yep. Home Depot.
Dick's.
Sears, Dick's. You know, you missed out. Scott Trade's the place to go for all your needs in that field.
Financial.
Financial field. Big show
Nailed
today.
It.
Big Show, home run. I'm back. Big Show today to talk about everything, the fallout of Wild Card Weekend. So we will dig into some news coming out of those games, some of them pretty wild, obviously. I was able to watch most of them from the Dominican Republic. They air on non-HD television in the resort I was staying at. But I did get to catch up once I got home Sunday night, so I can talk with you guys about that game with some semblance of knowledge. Not at a scientist level, but I'll do my best. We'll also start looking ahead to the divisional round. And I think, I don't know if it's something you've said, Greg, but I certainly agree with whoever sentiment it is. Best weekend of the year, divisional round playoffs. You got all these, like, you get rid of kind of the bum playoff teams, and now you got a nice stable of stud teams going at it for the chance to play in the final game in February. So
there's always some classics. Think back to last year. You had Packers-Cowboys, which is a good game marred by a bad call. You had Ravens-Patriots, which one of the best games going. And then you always have, like, one big upset. And last year that was the Broncos going down.
If any season ever needed it, it's this season.
Yeah,
because it's been a lot of bad football this
year. It was not a great wild card weekend, so yeah, they'll make up for it.
I would be a little nervous, Greg, about that one big upset occurring, you know, off the Mass Pike up there in New England.
Shocker.
You know, I mean, just listen. This is a live in the future looking at Gillette Stadium, you know, in their little shopping mall where a football field is. That's agony.
They would, if the Patriots really lost, it would just be silence. Everyone would be out by the middle of the fourth quarter.
Ooh, shot fire against your own fan base. So, yes, six mysteries of the divisional round we'll talk about. Wes wrote a really good piece on the Around the NFL page, so we'll dig into that and talk about some of the mysteries that lie ahead this weekend. And we're going to try something. I am almost certain, even though it was my idea, I'm almost certain it was a bad one. Listener phone calls. We put it out there. Sydney, who does just awesome work behind the glass. I'm sure Sydney likes it better when Colleen's hosting because she's not getting bombarded with requests 41 minutes before the show starts, as I did today. But Sydney rounded up some great listeners who wanted to either ask a question or make a comment, and we'll try this out. It most likely will go terribly, either logistically or just the, you know, the conversation, but we'll give it a shot. That's the Around the NFL podcast for Tuesday, presented by Scott Trade. So let's get to it. And we'll start by going behind the glass and formally saying hello to Sydney.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hi. Did you miss me?
I did miss you. I will say it was nice to have another girl around because I'm severely outnumbered.
Girl power.
Yeah. It's tough being in the sports media landscape as you are. And you're a rising star.
Thank you.
Not even joking around. Sydney is awesome at what she does, and she does. She reps for the ladies. All That's right. a little slang. That
That's a lot of pressure, but I'll take it.
Yeah. Let's do some news.
Sure.
Oh, I think he need a Grammy Award for that one.
Who is that?
That was Pac-Man
Old
Jones.
Adam Jones.
saying Antonio Brown deserved a Grammy Award for his acting performance. So he called Joey Porter Jerry Porter.
Which was hilarious.
And he said that Antonio Brown needs a Grammy.
A Grammy!
And Antonio Brown had a great response on Grammy. Twitter. He had some sort of picture of him singing at a microphone.
That is awesome.
I would just like to say once an idiot, always an idiot.
Because he had literally a 75% chance of getting it right. Because he could have said Oscar, which would have been fine.
That's not even the part I'm talking about. Acting like he's faking a concussion.
Let me finish this.
Split second time.
He could have said Emmy.
That would have been right.
Would have been right. Could have said Tony.
Sure, that would have worked.
That would have been right. Could have said Golden Globe. So he had an 80% chance, and yet he said Grammy.
No narrative of mine has crashed more than the Adam Jones rejuvenation season that he had this year ending and spectacular.
That wasn't even a narrative. He had a good season.
Well, let's talk about – we'll start with talking about his teammate, Vontaze Burfict, who, of course, had the hit on Antonio Brown over the middle that – and we'll talk about Adam Jones as well. He referred to it as some type of acting job. But the truth of the matter is that Antonio Brown was diagnosed with a concussion on the play, and it was Berfick's, you know, not the first time he's been labeled a dirty player. And the NFL announced Monday that they were fed up with it. They said that he had been suspended without pay for the first three games of the 2016 regular season for, quote, repeated violations of safety-related playing rules. Let's start there. He's going to appeal it. In fact, he has appealed it. Do you think that was fair to do that? Is Berfick the guy that needed this type of discipline?
He got off easy.
Really?
What are you talking about? This guy is a threat to the health of every other player on the field, including his teammates. He's out of control. He's over the line. And if Marvin Lewis isn't going to stop him, the NFL needs to.
That's like a that was a good like Mike Francesa rant there.
No, this guy is a dirty, dirty player who needs to be punished.
Put this heat on NFL Network. I like it, Wes. I don't know, though.
Isn't good enough.
No, I'm just saying. I didn't know he felt so.
If you're counting at home,
up about it,
he knocked the three best Steelers players out of games this year. All three of them: Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, and Big Ben. He got fined. It also flew under the radar when they announced this. He got fined for a hit on Max Williams, the Ravens tight end, in the season finale, and they announced that yesterday too. The Panthers called for his suspension last year because he got caught twisting ankles after the whistle on Cam Newton and Greg Olsen. This is what he does. It's his MO. And look, he's a throwback to the 50s when that stuff was encouraged and allowed and TV wasn't out there and the sport wasn't popular because America knew that it was too violent and there had to be restrictions. The NFL has restrictions now. He has to play under the rules.
You've convinced me. At first I thought...
That was a good sell.
Yeah, at first I thought... You know, three games is a lot. What's the precedent? Aren't there other dirty players and dirty plays happening all the time? He hasn't even been suspended one game. So I'm thinking back to Brandon Merriweather, who got one game, remember? And then he got two, and that was eliminated upon.
Brandon Merriweather is a certified headhunter.
Right.
Like Berfick, but Berfick does dirty stuff after the whistle continually.
That's totally fair. And there was a vine out there of him doing it on
Big Ben's
Shoulder injury hit. So that's all fair, and they definitely referred to his history that it was a repeat offender, and that's why he got it. It's amazing, though, if you think about it. If Jeremy Hill doesn't fumble that ball, so many things are different. I guess that's obvious, but Berfick would have been the hero. They had the game on NFL Network yesterday while we were at work, and I'm watching the game. Berfick had an incredible game capped by an incredible interception that would have been one of the plays of the century for the Bengals. I mean, he peeled off one guy in a zone, kind of tricked Landry Jones, then comes back, an amazingly athletic play, intercepts the ball, and if Jeremy Hill just holds on to the ball or the Bengals get the first round there, Berfick is an absolute hero. He's playing this week. He's certainly playing the next three games of next season, and it all
And he probably
around.
Hurt someone this week, too.
Right.
He's a phenomenal player. He had a great game that game. He had a great game in the regular season finale. He was coming into his own, recapturing the form he had when he was their best defensive player before his knee injury. It's just a shame that he can't get under control.
And Adam Jones, as we were just talking about, this is what he had to say to the Dan Patrick Show on Monday morning about the hit that concussed Antonio Brown and left his availability in some doubt for a divisional round weekend. Here's the quote. "Nah, Antonio Brown was not hurt. I know he was faking it. Go back and look at the play. If you go back in slow motion..." Yes, go on, Adam. "You tell me Vontae has hit him in the head or if his shoulder pads barely touched him." I don't know. What are you talking about, bro?
He's an idiot.
A doctor.
He's an idiot.
The doctor's not lying.
I think he needs a Grammy Award for that one.
That's insane. I mean, that's more.
And Bengals fans are, of course, believing Pac-Man Jones on this. That Antonio Brown is faking.
Well, you know what?
Bengals fans have
they're
been
in therapy
brainwashed.
Right now.
I hope they start thinking for themselves. Please.
His eyes were rolling into the back of his head. The camera showed it. I mean, not that we even
need to. He's a hell of an
actor. Not that we even to defend the reality of the situation, which is that, by the way, Antonio Brown's not expected to even play this week. So if it's all an acting job, the Steelers are doing some strange things for it. It's crazy. And I think it's going to cost Adam Jones money. It's not that big of a deal. But I don't think the Bengals are going to re-sign him now. Even though he had a great season for them, he's a free agent. And I got to think they'll just be like, he's 35 years old. It's just time to move on. You know, we got more out of Adam Jones than you would have ever expected. And if they don't re-sign him, how many teams out there are going to really want to dive into the Adam Jones experience at 35 years old.
I was thinking about
the end of his career.
I was thinking about that after the game and just like, you know, how, you know, in the playoffs, it changes everything. The stage is so big. It's how you're remembered. It really can define a career. And when you do something like he did in this game, and it's really how he's going to be remembered despite all the good things he's done in Cincinnati as a player. I think he could have a hard mark, and I could see the Bengals be like, we don't want you here anymore after what you did in the biggest game of the year. He's in trouble.
Well, Marvin Lewis, he's already started on his off-season program that you have to have more poise. This is an area of emphasis because it has to be for that team. And why would you re-sign Pac-Man Jones if that's your priority?
All right, and we'll look over to the Steelers now. And Ben Roethlisberger spoke to a Pittsburgh area radio station, KDKA, in Pittsburgh about his shoulder injury. And, you know, Ben likes to explain to the media and the fans what is wrong with him exactly. You could read into that however you'd like. But he did disclose on Tuesday that in addition to the sprained AC joint, which Ian and Albert Breer both reported earlier this week, he also does have torn ligaments in that throwing shoulder, and admitted and acknowledged that he has not even touched a football since that fourth quarter drive to beat Cincinnati. So he made it sound like he was unsure about whether he'll play on Sunday.
Said he was unsure.
Mike Tomlin sounds confident that Ben is playing.
Because you got to build up the biggest drama possible because it's Big Ben's move and he's been using it for 10 years. It's always been funny to me that the dichotomy between the physically toughest quarterback in the NFL and the need to tell everyone how banged up you are and to drag as much drama out of it as possible.
Greg, are you noticing a lot of fire?
I love it.
West today?
I love it. It's
you are fired up, Mr. Westland.
Well, it's about me.
West of this came.
Give him the MVP.
I mean, the afterglow is right now like my child, Ellis, after Christmas. So it's not just about Christmas.
It's about
the day after Christmas, playing with those toys. The next day, playing with those toys. And West of this, you should.
He got Castle Grayskull.
Exactly. He was here on Sunday night, and if you go back and listen, Dan, just go to the Bengals-Steelers segment. It was a great conversation, and Wes was just riding high because it was the greatest West of us he ever could have had.
It was a West of us miracle.
I am still riding high, and this might carry me through 2016. This is going to be my year, Dan.
I don't even remember what we were talking about. Oh, yeah, Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, so what – I guess you guys sound confident that this is all part of the Ben act, the Ben play that he goes through.
I'll buy you a sandwich if he doesn't play.
Well, that's fine, but is he going to be the Ben Roethlisberger that we love to watch throwing
balls
down the field? If he doesn't have Antonio Brown, that first hurts. And if he's not throwing the deep ball, that takes away, you know, his biggest asset. Let's not forget, the Steelers season was on the line. And they put Landry Jones out there for that under 2 minute
two drives
drill.
In a row.
Right. But
with Big Ben sitting there in a helmet.
The first drive, that's true. He did come out there. The PR director, by the way, reported through their Twitter that Ben is coming back on the field. He's going to give it a go. But it didn't happen. And then 1:38 to go, they go with Landry Jones on
that's
the field.
That was the thing I couldn't figure out.
Or whatever it was.
Reveal Magnifico.
It was amazing that if it not for the Hill fumble again, Landry Jones would have taken that last thing and we never would have known that Ben could have played. So I got to think it's pretty banged up and he can't throw the ball.
I'm not trying to dismiss the amount of pain he's in. That he's always – like he could have said sprained AC joint and he's throwing in the torn ligaments just so you know and you appreciate how tough he is once he comes out and leads the Steelers to an upset.
I'm just wondering, so he's going to be out there. We don't know if D'Angelo Williams is going to be out there. And I don't know if old Jerry Porter is going to be out there or Joey Porter. Because they might suspend – maybe they'll suspend Joey Porter. For all the, you know, grief that Adam Jones took, he had a right to be upset because they were annoyed by Porter going into the game, and I think that's
he
what
seems
set
like
him
kind
up.
Of an idiot, too. I mean, he
– Totally.
He's an agitator.
Do you remember – I can't remember who had the pick six earlier.
William Gay.
And he's crawling on the field during that exaggerated celebration. And he's Andrew Whitworth. He came out and said that he before a game this season he was like at midfield, mother effing everyone on the field. He shouldn't have been on the field during that moment of the game in the wild. Like, he could have easily gotten the flag and ruined their season.
Paul Gunther, the defensive coordinator, what did he call? He called Porter a clown, basically.
An embarrassment.
An embarrassment.
He did not mince words at all.
You don't really hear that too often. Coach
an embarrassment
coach
to
crime.
The coaching profession.
Wow.
Let us now move over. We are out of now, I think, we're out of hot butt season.
No. There's one sizzling.
Oh, in Detroit?
I don't
a sizzling posterior?
I don't really like. I just remembered I don't really like these images. This
just imagine the heat rising up under the buttocks, and you're just not comfortable because your butt is super hot. You got a hot butt, and you might get fired. Are you talking about Jim Caldwell?
Jim Caldwell, it's very hot right now.
Oh, can't smell good.
New general manager, has his press conference, hired from the Patriots in Detroit. They ask him about it, and he goes with the, "Oh, I have a lot of respect for Jim Caldwell."
Goodbye.
And
oh, no.
See ya.
It just sounded like it's a matter of time. And can you really see a guy from the Patriots organization thinking, okay, let's keep Caldwell. Let's keep the guy from the Colts. I don't know. I just don't. It just doesn't seem to mesh. It's not their Jim Caldwell is not a Patriots kind of guy.
So he stays in that job until the Patriots are knocked out of the playoffs and they get Josh McDaniels.
No, I think he's fired this week. I think we could get a 3 or 4 graph shorty up. You know, get it ready because I think the odds right now, and I'm not on a limb here. Ian Rappaport, our NFL media insider, said he's on thin ice. He thinks he's going to go.
You know what that respect gets Jim Caldwell? He gets a sit-down privately where the owner tells him he's fired as opposed to being leaked to, like, an insider like Rap Sheet first.
Right.
There's the respect.
I could be wrong. I'm just guessing here, but it just seems like a weird marriage that a Patriots GM guy is going to keep Caldwell's.
You're allowed to deduce.
Speaking of weird marriages, the San Francisco 49ers are set to meet with Tom Coughlin, the former Giants coach, who was not kidding when he said he wanted to continue his career despite being 69 years old. He is meeting with the Niners on Tuesday. According to Rap Sheet, Coughlin had met with the Eagles on Monday, and that would just be bizarre if Tom Coughlin was on the sideline with the Eagles during one of those NFC East rival tilts with the Giants. Don't think Big Blue fans would like to see that.
It'd be awesome is what it'd be. I hope that's what happens. 49ers just seems weird. Is Coughlin really going to be able to win there quickly? That's a strange situation. Eagles sounds great. I mean, our friend Colleen Wolf's husband, John Gonzalez, I'm just thinking of his tweet when they were talking about the Coughlin interview. It just said, please, 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 please. Because this is exactly what the Eagles media wants. It's a great story. Root for the story, having Coughlin there.
He's a good coach. I like to see good coaches still doing the job.
Also, that Eagles beat writer that draws all the cartoon stick figures would probably have a lot of fun time.
Old Jimmy Kemsky.
Oh, Kemsko, yeah.
Yeah.
He would have fun. In other coaching news, Terrell Pryor would like the Browns to hire Hugh Jackson. Hey, Terrell, you know, just be happy you have a roster spot. Yeah. Pipe down a little bit.
He knows he's going to be back in Cleveland?
Terrell Pryor, who I think is a wide receiver, maybe is a third-string quarterback, had this to say. Every day when I woke up in Oakland during their time together in Oakland, I was like, man, I got to get to work. I wasn't even playing in 2011 when Hugh was head coach. And you don't always feel a part of things, but Hugh made it fun every single time. He would be a great choice. I can tell you that. The Browns are – obviously, it seems like they're very hot for Hugh. And I'll throw out a hashtag,
hot for Hugh.
Hot for Hugh. I will throw this out there because there is a report also out there, I believe from Rap Sheet, that, you know, the Giants want to meet with Hugh as well.
They are, yeah.
If you're Hugh Jackson, why would you ever take the Browns job if you had a chance to get the Giants job? It just wouldn't make sense to me. I know it's – getting a job, it's hard, but I would play it out a little bit if I was Hugh and not dive into that Cleveland job if I had a chance to get one of the best coach jobs in the league, in my opinion.
Maybe he's trying to enter the Ohio Sports History Hall of Fame.
That's right. Sessler did make the point last week that the Browns have the most potential to be a hero and have a football life about you because if the man that turns around the Browns will be a hero. But there's a reason why it hasn't happened. You're right, the job isn't as good. But Hugh Jackson, Tom Coughlin, I think, you know, they're the big names in this coaching search, but there is no hot coaching commodity. There's no guy that's like, we got to get him signed now. They've all been out there now for a week plus. They've all had multiple interviews. Mike Silver, who's very close with Hugh Jackson, says no one's offered Hugh Jackson a job. It's not that he's choosing. It's not that he's leveraging. No one's given him an offer, and that makes a lot of sense because I think if the Browns really wanted Hugh Jackson, they'd offer him the job, and he'd probably take it because you don't know what you're going to get in New York. It's the same reason why Rex took the Bills job last year, because it was there. And I think he would take the first job that he got.
So I think we've got a game of musical chairs here where none of the coaches and none of the landing spots are all that attractive. So they're all leaving their options open like the dating world for over 30-year-olds in the Tinder era.
Wow, I like that.
Well, the Eagles and Giants are fine jobs, but I think in their mind they just want to be thorough and they want to take their time. They're in no hurry because none of these – they can live without any of these guys.
Since Wes cracked open the door, what's going on in your dating life right now, Chris?
I've got a I don't really want to
spit it out.
I don't want to say. There's something good going on, but I don't want to say.
Something good going
on. I don't want to jinx it.
I'm
going to
write
that
down. Today is January 12th. By the way, January 12th, the anniversary of Super Bowl III, the last time the Jets made the Super Bowl, a victory over the Baltimore Colts. And let me tell you something, guys. Joe guaranteed it.
Wow. You know what it's also the anniversary of now that we're on the topic?
What?
My son's birth 1 year ago.
Oh!
Yeah, Walker Rosenthal. Way to make it through a year. Good job.
Oh, that is great. I love it. And I did not realize that he was born on the Jets Super Bowl day.
Me neither. Maybe
foreshadowing that he will break the Jets' long slide. Mm.
Or break my heart and be a Jets fan. Oof. You never know.
He'll break his own heart if he does that. where were we? Any other? Rob Ryan, by the way. Did we talk about this on Sunday?
No.
Okay, he is on Rex Ryan's staff. He is hired as an assistant coach, and that seems like a weird move, destined for failure.
Well, you could make the point that they both, you know, who's going to try harder than the Ryan brothers? They both have so much to prove this year.
You said it well, I think, Dan. It seems... seems like it'll be great memories for them, and you can understand it personally, and yet it just seems like a recipe for disaster.
In 20 years, they'll be on a lake drinking beer together, talking about their 2016.
Well, there's something to that. If you and your brother were both, you know, big-time coaches in the league, who knows? I mean, this might be Rex Ryan's last head
They're
coach.
They're just if like you have we a are. Of course they want to do that kind of stuff.
I worry about Rob Ryan's presence, day-to-day presence, how it will affect Rex Ryan's body. Potential
wouldn't be
game,
my first
Rob,
thought, but yeah.
Rob's plugged in, like he has a good time and likes to eat. Now Rex and Rob will be together. Will Rex be able to stick to his diet with Rob there, who could be a bad influence? These are the things I'm tracking more than anything.
What's the science on the stapling thing? Isn't it that you can't really become
Yeah, you're not hungry. You're not hungry enough. You can't fill it up.
Yeah, but Rob Ryan is
staples
a force
could,
of nature.
The staples
You're right.
could burst.
I saw him at a Chick-fil-A in the Indianapolis airport last February, and that guy, even when he orders fast food, it's like fun and boisterous. Mm. I could see Rex getting sucked back into that world.
Rob's out
Stay
here.
Stay strong, Wes.
I've seen
Rex.
Rob around Santa Monica. It'd be great. We should have him in on the podcast.
Oh, that would be
Now that I would like.
Finally in the news, I'm in on that, totally. Big news. Big news here. The headline, the source here, TMZ.com, but you could also see it on Instagram. And if you watched the Golden Globes, was it? Oh, no, it was the NCAA championship game, a little sideline during Alabama-Clemson. Here's the headline from TMZ. Jewel, I'm dating a hot NFL quarterback. And that quarterback, ladies and gentlemen, is no other than friend. Well, we've never met him, but
he has no idea.
He doesn't know who we are. He is Clipboard Jesus, Charlie Whitehurst. My goodness.
How did this not happen sooner? It makes so much sense.
Well, the crumbs were there for us for years and years. Jewel laid them out. Now, Glycerine, which is the theme song of Charlie Whitehurst.
According to you.
Well, according to me. But he has a guitar, and he's learning how to play it. Released in 1996, right? Jewel's album went nuts in 1996. And this song you're listening to right now. Listen to this line. Dark eyes, careless hair. Fashionably sensitive, but cool, too cool to care.
Well, when was that written, though?
Like mid-90s. But
she was like 19
How
old
years is old. Jewel?
Jewel is
she's listen, about 40.
Jewel is
okay.
Wes, you and I.
I had
fans
a,
of Jewel.
We've I talked, had an immense crush on her.
We've talked about Jewel on this podcast.
Why does it matter how old she is?
No, no. My point was when she wrote those lyrics, what was Charlie Whitehurst doing? You know, he was like in high school.
It was
something.
In the stars, is what I'm saying. It was in the cosmos all along. And the crumbs of this moment were laid out there for us to follow, but how it would have been hard to follow. It's an amazing development.
Now, if you saw a headline on TMZ, take the Jewel aspect, because I think we all agree Jewel and Charlie Whitehurst are meant to be
perfect
together. What is her What's her first song? You Were Meant for Me. Maybe that's about him.
Her first single was Who Will Save Your Soul, but yeah.
I tried. But if you saw Jewel, or
you
just saw like pop star, basically, I'm dating a hot NFL quarterback. How many quarterbacks, if you were just blind guessing, would you have to guess before you got to Charlie Whitehurst?
I don't know. How many were named sexiest man of Nashville?
Yeah, exactly. I would. It would be in the
really okay.
Like
I
the
just,
tenth guy.
Probably. I don't think like hot NFL quarterbacks.
I would have gone Drew Stanton.
I mean, the hot thing doesn't throw me off. The NFL quarterback thing
right,
throws me
exactly,
off more.
Right,
yeah,
exactly, a little bit. Like, because people don't think of Charlie
He's
Whitehurst
attractive,
when you think of NFL quarterbacks immediately. It's great, though.
This probably won't work out, let's be honest. It's just it's tough for celebrities, and Clipboard Jesus is a huge one, and Jewel, to stay together. But if this begins to push Charlie down the road that I'm hoping, the Jesse Palmer road where he's on The Bachelor, this will all come together. Or maybe he'll fall in love with Jewel and they'll be together forever. That'd be great, too. We're happy for Charlie.
It's one of the biggest stories of the year.
If these two kids can't make it, what kind of hope does that give the rest of us?
True. And one last note. I didn't want to miss it. Bill Belichick showed up at his press conference on Tuesday with a shiner, a black eye. And, Greg, I want to ask you, piece scale, how nervous does this make you that he has – Bill Belichick, the hooded one, the man that is, you know, impenetrable, now showing signs of wear and tear physically ahead of the playoffs.
It makes me feel great. He's in fighting mood. That's when he's at his best. Whoever gave him this shiner is going to pay. The Chiefs are going to pay for whoever gave Bill Belichick this shiner.
He's already dead.
Right, exactly. I like it. He's feisty. I want a feisty, angry Belichick.
Did anybody have the onions?
Oh yeah.
To ask what happened?
Yeah, they asked him. He said, you know, he didn't think they had to disclose the reason on the injury report or some crack like that.
Oh, you know,
say you should
up,
see
Bill.
The other guy.
He didn't say anything.
Bill, lighten up.
That is
no,
like what
that
happened.
That was a joke. That was a joke.
What happened?
Well, he wouldn't say.
All right, let's go. What are the possibilities for getting a black eye?
He was either in a fight,
right?
He fell, or he murdered someone.
Horsing around with his kids, grandkids, or whatever?
He doesn't horse around. I don't know. There's not a lot of options of what he could have done.
What if he was fixing something on his boat and a pulley came and hit him in the face?
He says, I think I'll...
Five rings?
He just says, I think I'll live. I don't think we need to list coaches on the injury report. I'm sure if we're required to, we'll do it.
Blow hard. Just tell us what happened. I'm going to get to the bottom of this.
I'm loving this. Dan convinces himself to pick against the Patriots in the playoffs again.
It's almost like
it works. In
it's
general,
almost like
eventually.
Greg and the Bengals.
I said on network, Greg, that our network hit that we taped today, that you're a little worried that this is going to be like that game against the Ravens in 2009.
That's a terrible
yeah,
comparison.
It's a great one.
That Patriots
great comparison.
Team was dog. That was the worst. I can't even say it.
So is this one.
No, this is a good Patriots team. They have a good defense. They have Tom Brady. They've got Gronk. It's not perfect right now, but it's a good team. And I don't buy this. By the way, everyone should be watching around the NFL. We should plug that too. It's on 2-4 every day
with
during
hosts.
The playoffs with host Andrew Siciliano.
2-4 Pacific time.
That's right. 4-6. No, wait, what was
it? Get it right.
5-7.
Not that easy.
5-7 East Coast.
I blew it. I'm seeing how tough it is for them. 5-7 Eastern every day, and we're doing a couple hits per day.
And yes, we're doing that. So check it out. DVR it. Watch it live if you're unemployed. These are all things you can do. Andrew does an awesome job. Another guy that's a better host than me, technically speaking.
That guy's a pro.
And we got to get Andrew back on the show because he a friend of the show, Andrew Siciliano, and a mensch at Andrew Siciliano. And that's what's happening All right, now let's look ahead, guys, to the divisional round. Wes, you wrote a very nice piece. I enjoyed it. Read the whole thing cover to cover. Six biggest mysteries of the divisional round, which you could find at NFL.com/all these mysteries. Got to dig in, find out what are the answers. Is that a vanity URL that's active right now?
Well, that would seem counterproductive. You want it to be simple, something you can send out on Twitter. I don't know what that nonsense was.
Let me try it again. NFL.com/Wes figured it out. All these mysteries no longer need to be sleuth.
I think like NFL.com/super sleuth.
That would be. See, that's more along the lines of what we're thinking, Dan.
In the words of TD, either way.
Either way.
All right, let's start with, let's go down the list. Wes, you did a great job of this. Which Peyton Manning will we see? And that one, that makes a lot of sense because you're wondering if it will be, let's say, and listen, now we're going back all the way to the beginning of last season to set this up, but early 2014 Peyton Manning when he was still one of the most productive passers in the league, or midpoint 2014 and on all the way through this season, will we see that guy who can't throw a ball, he can't get going, he's always hurt? Which one will we see? Answer that mystery, Wes.
This one's fascinating to me because he was the biggest off-season mystery, I thought. Which Peyton Manning were we going to see? And now we go into the playoffs, and he's still the biggest mystery because the range of outcomes is so huge. Could he be early 2014 or 2013 Peyton Manning? Mm. Or could he be the liability of the first 2 months of the season? Or could he be the guy who's completely broken against the Chiefs and has to get yanked from the game? I feel like any of these things are possible.
I got to admit, I'm nervous that Peyton Manning's going to be Peyton Manning. As a Patriots fan, that's the worst possible outcome, is having to go to Denver. First of all, Denver winning that game. I'm rooting for the Steelers.
I don't think that's –
going to Denver and then Peyton Manning playing really well, that'd be a really painful – like, it would just be terrible to lose to Peyton Manning. And he's supported by a great defense now. So I don't think we're going to see pre-Kubiak Manning. But if he's just good with that defense and they take care of business, again, if they come out of the AFC, that'd be a painful loss for the Patriots.
I know – I'm a bigger fan of Peyton Manning than others in this room. But I got to say, isn't it more fun that he's in the mix right now?
Yes.
It just adds a whole level of drama to the playoffs that we needed. So we'll see what happens there. Good mystery, Wes. Next up, how beat up are the Steelers? That is a big mystery because we don't know how serious Ben's injury is. He's telling us exact type of injuries that he's dealing with. Well, we don't know if that's going to keep him out of action. D'Angelo Williams, we don't know if he'll get back. It's not looking good. Antonio Brown, we don't know if he's going to play after he got concussed, whether or not Adam Jones believes it. So you put those big three potentially out of the game, you know, the Steelers don't have a shot.
This is such a mystery that from the time I wrote this yesterday afternoon to this morning, the whole tenor of the Steelers part changed. That I wrote that optimism was the order of the day, that the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette said that, you know, Antonio Brown is expected to be fine for this weekend.
Really?
They also said Big Ben is likely to play.
How did they know that?
Sources told them.
Deeply embedded.
Since then, reports have come out saying Antonio Brown is unlikely to play, and Big Ben has come out and said, look, I have, in addition to a sprained AC joint, I've got torn ligaments in my throwing shoulder.
It's a good test of the old concussion protocol. Now, if Antonio Brown plays, I don't think that necessarily means the concussion protocol is a sham or anything like that. We just don't know. But if he does not play because of the concussion, I think that does show on some level that the protocol and the concussion and all that, that's the type of thing that maybe would not have happened as recently as 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Because Antonio Brown's the best receiver in football. I mean, I think he's the best receiver in football. He's been as valuable as any receiver. His loss is just massive.
A.J. Green last year in the playoffs, wasn't he unable to get cleared?
That's true.
That kept him out. So, yeah, progress is being made. Maybe Brown becomes the next guy. You want to see him playing in that game, but if his head's not right, he can't. Third mystery, the New England Patriots of October when they were 40-burger hanging world beaters, or December when they were bums, Greg. They could barely beat anybody. Can't do anything on offense, and you know, we're looking very human. Which version of the patch shows up?
I think the best they can hope for is like an early November version, because this is a lousy running game. They're not getting Deion Lewis or Blunt back. The two guys that they don't know right now are Vollmer and Chandler Jones, who really hasn't been hurt earlier in the year. It sounds like they're getting Edelman, Hightower back. That's good. Amendola. We'll see if it's Edelman. I think you'll see a good Patriots team. It's a good defense. I'm not worried about this defense.
From everything I've read out of New England, Edelman looks fantastic in practice. He's cutting as well as he ever has.
So big for them.
I don't worry about that part of the passing game whatsoever. Amendola's healthy now. Gronk's healthy. But I really do worry about the offensive line.
Vollmer's huge.
That's the big question.
It's a weird thing, but it's just a cascading effect. It's not like Vollmer's an all-pro, but when he's out of there, then both their tackle positions are just lousy.
And it's
when
the wrong
in there,
defense.
They're okay at right tackle. You know, everything is just a little better.
The wrong defense to be lousy at tackle.
In other Patriots news, Julian Edelman said he'll be taking down his carport in Providence next month.
Danny Amendola.
Wait.
Because his neighbors are awful.
Was it Amendola or Edelman?
Hey, they're all the same to Dan.
I'm confusing my whites.
Oh, man.
It was Amendola, and he has awful human beings as neighbors. It's like your 9-year-old self grew up to be a person who complains about a carport. Way to go, you horrible creep of a human.
What was the problem with their carport?
It was an eyesore in the neighborhood for rich people who have nothing better to do with their lives than complain about other people.
Next.
Go ahead. No, nothing. Please move on.
Why? Were you going to bring up something about Martha's Vineyard or something?
Did you know he used to drive a strawberry truck?
Next mystery is the
also a pizza delivery man. Is that every man enough for you? Dishwasher?
In Beverly Hills.
I was a pizza guy in Western Massachusetts.
Okay.
Too. A lot of people are pizza guys. Is the Packers' offensive renaissance a one-game mirage? Now, this is one of my favorite mysteries here because this team – this is why the NFL doesn't make any sense, and I'm super glad that I'm not some type of addict living outside Vegas, because who would have thought the Packers would all of a sudden put it together after we saw months of tape saying it's not going to happen, and they're down 9-0 on the road, and it seems like everything's going wrong, and then they return to form, and yet now they have a matchup against the Cardinals team, West, that completely – they embarrassed them, shut down that offense, made Rodgers look like a subpar quarterback. Will that momentum carry over? Great mystery.
Well, I think you look at this matchup, and you shouldn't expect the same result as the last time. The Packers are more confident right now, and their offensive line is much better and healthier than it was in that game. But I fully believe James Jones cannot physically get away from Patrick Peterson. Patrick Peterson is going to dominate that matchup and shut him down. Davante Adams reportedly unlikely to play through a knee injury. So what does that leave you? In the passing game, Randall Cobb, Jared Ebrideras, a flyer on Jeff Janis.
Yeah, one thing you saw in that, and we'll talk about it Thursday when we preview the game, but one thing you saw, they're so confident in their guys winning one-on-one that they sent a lot of crazy blitzes at them. They got exotic. I mean, they can do whatever they want up front sending extra guys. If you're confident, you can just lock them down.
There you go. Those are four mysteries of division round week. You want to see the other two? You're going to have to check it out at NFL.com/
What a tease.
Around the NFL.
It's professional.
That's how you do it. And now let's move on now. And like I said, I have some misgivings right now about this experiment, but it felt like a good time for us to touch base with our listenership, our loyal listenership across the globe. And, it's good to talk. You don't have to be a psychotherapist to know that. It's good to talk. So Sydney did the work. We sent out a tweet, called out for people who want to call into the show today, and we have some callers on the line. Who do we got first, Sydney?
Yeah, first up we have Nathan in Sacramento. So he's on the line right now.
All right, Nathan in Sacramento, the capital of California, for those that are not in the know. What's up, Nathan?
How's it going, heroes?
What's up? How are things going up there in Sacramento?
It's a nicer kind of day. I'm excited. I'm on the way to an eye doctor appointment right now.
Ah.
You got nice pipes. You should be on the podcast, Nathan.
I've heard that a few times. It's pretty cool. Thank you very much.
Maybe you'll do better than me, too, just like Colleen. weren't one of the people that tweeted at me, did you?
What was that?
You weren't one of the people that tweeted at me about how Colleen was going to replace me, were you?
I did not. No, I'm loyal to you, Dan.
Oh, I love you, Nathan. What do you got? You got a question? You got a comment? What do you got?
Yeah, no, I've got a question. So I was going to say we've already witnessed AJ McCarron try his best at holding down a playoff team. Didn't really work out, and now Big Ben's hurt. 2015's kind of been the year for the backup, and in some cases the backup's backup. For any of the remaining playoff teams, you know, if their key players went down, whose understudy would you guys trust to potentially carry him to the Super Bowl?
That's a good question. Wes?
Well, we have to go through these. Good, Tavares Jackson, Derek Anderson.
Well, this is sports talk radio now. You got to think quick on your
Scott
feet,
Wes. Scott Tolzien, Brock Osweiler.
Well, the easy answer is Landry Osweiler because he's got the best defense. And he's already been playing, but it's the wrong answer. Jimmy G.
Chase Daniel.
Oh, you picked Chase Daniel.
Former Making the Leap candidate?
Chase Daniel? I think Jimmy G.
I would go Garoppolo. I like
hanging the torch for Garoppolo. He's never played a game that mattered.
He's supported by a great coaching staff, a good defense, Gronkowski. I would give him the best chance. But Chase Daniel would be fun. What a story it would be. It would be such a fitting moment in Alex Smith's career that the Chiefs made it to the Super Bowl with Chase Daniel. He always just feels like he gets the worst luck in terms of just getting blamed for everything.
I'll never forget the first Super Bowl that we got to cover at NFL.com. Mark and I were sitting watching – actually, it was the second Super Bowl we covered, but Colin Kaepernick had supplanted Alex Smith as a starter, and that was a major story. And Alex Smith had to sit there for the entirety of Super Bowl week answering questions why he got benched, why he wasn't good enough. I don't want to see that happen to him.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, no.
Nathan.
That's not their year, yeah.
Nathan, did you have – who do you think, buddy?
The easy answer probably would have been Osweiler for me too, just because we've seen when he's been able to kind of do, especially when Peyton went down. But I was just curious about the other ones. Yeah, Daniels looks like it could be, that'd be just a hilarious story.
It's not Landry Jones.
Yes.
That much we know.
All right. Well, thank you. Good luck with your eye appointment. I hope you have continued vision.
Oh, yeah. 2020.
All right. Later, man. Thank you.
See you soon. Thanks.
Brock Osweiler, by the way, he must hate Peyton Manning. Like, secretly, like, he must completely rag on him to his parents and stuff. You can imagine.
Why, for that time where he didn't let him on the field and then now, yeah.
Oh, this whole thing, I would think that behind the scenes he's very frustrated.
You don't think Peyton Manning's nice to Brock Osweiler?
They probably get along. I don't think this is a Bledsoe-Brady situation where Bledsoe was sneaky undercutting.
Bledsoe was just –
Favre Rogers.
He was just all about going to Everclear concerts and, all right, who do we got next? We got Sydney behind the glass on the phones. Who's next, Sydney?
Next up, we have Paul, and he's from Great Yarmouth, England. Is that right, Paul?
Wow.
I live in Great Yarmouth. I'm originally from Liverpool, but yeah.
There you go.
How inferior does all the people that just live in Yarmouth feel when they hang around guys like you?
Well, they should feel inferior, obviously, given the title, right?
Paul is calling in.
Is this Mainsy?
It is.
Okay.
It is, Chris.
How do you know these things?
I've spoken.
You know
to
everyone
Paul
in England.
I'm connected. He and our friend Neil Dutton actually stale bread.
Of course,
they are buddies. And do you guys host a podcast together?
We do. Yeah.
Yep. There you go.
MDDF. We do.
Give it a proper plug.
It's the MDDF. So Mains and Dutts discuss football.
There you go.
I've been on that podcast.
So do you have a question or a comment, Paul?
I have a question for Chris, which we probably discussed before, but Jay Gruden's a head coach of the Washington professional football team.
The Redskins.
They got to the playoffs this year. They have a quarterback who's very similar to Andy Dalton. So I'm thinking, do I start wondering whether I'm going to be having a celebratory party every wild card weekend? And what should I call it?
I find this question insulting.
Why?
It implies that, like, my breakup with the Bengals was just some lark that I just stumbled upon someday. No, you should stay. Your team's doing well. You're in the playoffs. You've got something to build around. Stay with it.
In your defense, though, the Redskins, they had their Super Bowl success. But since Dan Snyder's taken over the team, since really, the late 90s, this is an embarrassing franchise, one of the worst franchises in the league. They do make the playoffs every once in a while, but they quickly lose. There's nothing memorable. There's a lot of heartache for these Redskins teams.
Do they have a general manager?
They seem to have a good one.
Do they have a scouting staff? Then I don't want to hear it.
Well, I think what Paul's getting at is he has some concerns in terms of abilities that we could be 3 years from now talking about the Cousins scale.
Ooh. Well, that's fair. That's a fair question.
Well, you know what the twist would be? I don't know what you would call it. Paulstavis?
Paulstavis. Yeah.
I don't know what you would call it.
Mainsy time?
But I think
It's Mainsy time.
The Redskins version is a little different. It actually occurs every few years, and it's only against the Seahawks. It's a first-round loss against the Seahawks every 3 or 4 years whenever you get a new coach, something like that.
Except for the year it's against the Packers.
Mm. How about this, Paul? Just be thankful you don't have John Beck anymore.
Yes.
I take offense to that. Thank you very, very much.
All right.
Thanks, Mainsy.
Later, Mainsy.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Let's take one more call.
All right.
Maybe two. What else? Who else you got?
I think I have Terry on the line. Terry, can you hear us?
Hey, guys.
Whoa, Terry.
Terry from where?
Terry's calling in from Atlanta.
Oh, this is a good thing to start off with. Settle a debate, Terry. The proper slang expression when describing the city of Atlanta, Georgia is what?
Atlanta. No T. No second T.
What about A-Town?
A-Town. Oh, yeah, I remember this debate. I don't really hear anybody calling it that.
I'm talking about.
Have you ever met Usher? On,
nobody in Georgia is calling it A-Town.
Oh, yeah. I mean, every time that song comes on at a wedding, people go nuts. But in casual conversation, people aren't saying, hey, you know, hanging out at A-Town. Doesn't happen.
All right, fair enough. What do you got for us, Terry?
So I'm a big fan of the show. While you were away, I thought Colleen Wolfe killed the hosting duties. So I just want to know, where's the old Zeuser on the P scale that Colleen Wolfe is going to take the hosting
coming
duties?
Coming right at him.
Well,
you just guaranteed you'll never be on the show again.
Yeah, hang up on Terry.
Dang it.
Well, as I said at the top of the show, as you'll hear when you listen back, my P scale is somewhat low only because I value people that are loyal and are loyal to the cause of the Around the NFL podcast. And I don't think anybody's going to betray me anytime soon, but I will have my radar up for betrayal.
But, it always is.
And I know, and Colleen, I know for a fact, although I didn't listen, I know for a fact that she is a professional and was going to do a good job. What I didn't know is that I was going to have so much, you know, thrown my way.
Oh, wow.
There we go.
Zip
good.
Got rid of him.
Is Terry, are you still there?
No, I'm still here.
See, I knew this was going to go poorly.
Sydney
is crashing back there.
Sydney's on tilt.
Trying to multitask. It's not.
You're doing your best.
Ever since we made fun of John Beck, Sydney's just totally out of it.
Yeah, I shut down.
So to answer your question,
sabotaging now.
P scale, whereas one would be not even a trickle. 10 would be, I got to go put on some adult diapers because I peed my pants because I'm so nervous that Colleen's going to steal my job. I'm going to put it at a 3.
I don't think Colleen has it.
Fair enough.
She doesn't have it in her to want to steal your job.
Something Machiavellian?
No, she's not a Machiavellian character.
We'll see about that. I don't know. I can see it in the eyes a little bit.
She's your friend.
She is. We are friends. So there's your answer, Terry. Just don't give up on me, Dad.
Oh, I never doubt the old Zeuser. I just thought I'd ask.
Thanks, Terry.
Have a nice day in
A-Town. Thanks, Terry.
All right, that's Terry. And finally.
All right, turns out I'm sure there is a way to do two calls at once. But if there is, I'm unaware of it. So we're going to get our last caller on the line.
Okay. She's doing a great job behind the glass, Sydney.
Thanks,
but
Dan.
This, I kind of had a feeling. This was going to go off the tracks. Kind of has a little
we
bit.
We haven't had a producer yet who has mastered the phone call.
Well, it's easy for us to take shots. We have no idea what's going on, you know.
Listen, I don't know how to use a landline. I'm a millennial.
Fair point.
I'm surprised they still make landlines.
So Terry questioned me about Colleen, which I found offensive, but also he had to ask the question, as a good caller does. And
elephant in the room.
Yeah, Paul is nervous about the cousin scale becoming a thing that's real. But I would say that means the Redskins are getting in the playoffs every year, so I'd be excited.
Kind of like
that.
The sound of Mainsy time, though.
Mainstivist?
Mainsy time.
All good ones. Sydney, do we now have our final caller on the line?
I believe we do. Our last caller is Connor from New Jersey.
Connor from New Jersey.
Wow.
What do you got for us, Connor?
Yeah, hey, Dave. Listen, I love the Damashek show, and I'm really happy to be on. First time, long time. I have a question, then a comment, and I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, let's hear it.
All right, well, you know, seems to me you guys are leaving out some good candidates as far as head coaches that you talk about. I mean, you know, there's this Lombardi guy, and I don't know if you guys know this, but his grandfather was Vince Lombardi, and, you know, he's obviously got the heart of a champion. So I don't understand why you guys aren't talking about
him. Didn't have a great season in Detroit this year. I believe you're referring to Joe Lombardi, who was fired, and then his team immediately turned around.
Yeah, well, my next point was for you, Greg Rosenbloom. You know, what I wanted to say was you're always picking on my Giants, and I'm wondering, you know, what professional team did you play for? Anyway, I'll hang up and listen.
I think the question was, it might have gotten cut off there, what team did you play for? And he'll hang up and listen.
The Minichog Regional High School Tennis Team. That was really the last team. I guess unless you wanted to count the Zog Sports Dodgeball Team championship we had when I was 23. A little embarrassing. After a couple of weeks, I decided to quit.
Connor from New Jersey, and that voice sounded familiar, by the way. But hitting all the tropes of a caller to a Northeast Regional, potentially WFAN-type show. So I'll give my best Francesa. Hey, Connor, come back to us. Jeez, okay?
Well done by Connor.
So there we go. There's the phone calls. Let's check in with Sydney now. Are you all right after that? You were running around.
Yeah,
you probably
I'm
burnt over 3,000 calories going between multiple phones, dial tones.
And there was Skype happening. There was a lot going on behind the glass.
Europe was involved at one point. You did your best, and I enjoyed
well
it.
Well done.
I enjoyed it. Maybe we'll do that again. That was kind of a disaster, but all the callers were good people.
I think it was fun. Could edit out the other stuff.
No, we should leave it in. It's important that people see. In fact, it kind of shows that, Sydney, the good work that she does and how hard it is to run the show behind the glass.
Yeah, it ain't all rainbows and unicorns back here, guys.
Whoa.
All right. So we will be, guys, that's it for the show. We will be back on Thursday with another show where we really dig into the preview of the divisional round playoff games. Like I said, the best week of the year to watch football. I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. Nice tribute to David Bowie.
Oh, the great David Bowie passed away this week. So check us back on Thursday. This is Dan Hansis signing off for the mailman, the boss, and La Cid behind the glass. Till Thursday. This is Ground Control to Major Tom.
What's up? This is Owner B. I'm Nate Burleson.
At Real Mike Rob.
Check us out. We're going to talk about the divisional playoffs.
All of that. All that. Playing in cold weather. All of that stuff.
We're going to break down everything you need to know coming up for the rest of the playoffs. Check us out on iTunes. It's Owner B.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take more control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks,
Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.